Yes. No body, no inquest. Have his carcass, or the coroner can't sit on it.
Hey guys, welcome to Sherringford's Table Talk. I'm Rusty B, and this is a podcast about fictional detectives. The character of today's episode was created by Dorothy L. Sayers, and apparently he's very famous. I say apparently because I haven't read any of his stories. Yet. But I've decided to cover him anyway. That is first of all because I want to talk about the older gentleman detectives first before we come to the newer ones. Secondly, Lord Peter Wimsey seems very similar to the detectives we've talked about so far, at least from the outside, but he brings in new elements. That is, new elements to the detective character. And his elements fit perfectly into our chronological structure of the character so far. So he brings fictional detectives on a new level. And I kind of find it cool to somehow show you the development of the fictional detective character through time by covering a new detective every episode. But you will hear more about it in detail in just a bit. The third reason why I want to talk about him in this episode, even though I haven't read any of his stories so far, is, you know, I like the thought of us kind of exploring him together. And I'll just freely comment some of the stuff you can find out about him. That is, of course, the stuff if you don't read the stories. Yeah. Now, before we begin, there's one more thing that's bugging me lately. You know, it concerns something I've talked about already in the previous episodes, and that is the stuff with the archetypes. For the people who've listened to me to the older episodes, too, know that I had a plan in the beginning. And now, as it seems, this plan kind of backfired a little bit. You see, I wanted to put each character into one of four archetypes. I found these archetypes on Wikipedia, and these archetypes were the amateur detectives, consulting detective, police detective, and forensic specialist. So, in the beginning, everything seemed waterproof, but what I realized just now is that most of the early detectives are all amateur detectives. And of course, that makes categorizing them pretty obsolete. And I think that will be the case for the first 8 episodes or so. Maybe even longer. And since I don't have a better idea, I will just lay this side project on ice. At least until I can talk about another detective type that is not amateur detectives. So, just so you know. Now, that being said, it is also easier for me to pick Lord Peter for episode 6, because he's kind of the king of amateur detectives. You see, this is a guy who's so far away from having any reason to solve crime that even Auguste Dupin, who was basically a bored knight, must bow to him. I mean, we cannot even assume any monetary motivation for Lord Peter's involvement, because he is a freaking lord. He's rich. He really just simply does it for his amusement. And of course because he wants to show how smart he is. So, his character is kind of as if Poirot and Dupin had a baby, and this baby then became an English lord. Yeah, great example, very fitting, since both of them are French. Oh, excuse me, Belgian and French, of course. Well, anyway, here we go. Episode 6, A Sherringford's Table Talk. Lord Peter Wimsey. Okay, now, good old Peter is a lord, and not a former one, but he's a real active one, although it is still a courtesy title. Because Lord Peter has an older brother. And this brother gets to play Lord actively, so he sits in the House of Lords and all that stuff. But nonetheless, B Peter is the son of a duke, and he profits from all the benefits that come with that. So let's have a look at the Whimsey family tree. Their ancestry begins with the 12th century knight Gerald de Whimsey. And this Gerald de Whimsey was part of the Third Crusade under King Richard the Lionheart. And he was also part of the so-called Siege of Acre, which was a very important counterattack by King Guy of Jerusalem against Saladin, the leader of the Muslims. Yeah. This is all Wikipedia knowledge, guys. I completely suck at medieval history. I don't even know if these events are real. I think they are. But please don't hate me. But the point I want to make, and the point that's important here, is that the Whimsey family tree is an unusually ancient one, especially for English noble family standards. Apparently, a lot of monarchs lost their heads in between through rebellions and such, and so a lot of families didn't grow that old. So 12th century? That's impressive. Okay, since they are a noble family, they also have their own coat of arms, so an own family logo, the one that would be printed on shields and flags. And before this episode, I didn't know the slightest thing about English heraldry and coat of arms and how you describe them and all that stuff. So I looked up the logo and I found this sentence, quote, "Sable, 3 mice current, argent, crest, a domestic cat couched as to spring, proper," end quote. And that was the description of the family logo. And I was like, what? These are just nonsense words. What the hell does that mean? I had to do a lot of research just for this stupid logo, because apparently there is English heraldry language. So stuff like sable and argent. And these are colors, but it's how English people in medieval times named colors. Well, anyway, I had to translate this sentence into something human. And I also, of course, looked up the logo under Google Images so I could see how the actual coat of arms would look like. Yeah, if that was clear to you, I'm sorry. English is not my first language, okay? And English heraldry is not my second, so apparently, it means that the Whimsey coat of arms is a black shield, and this black shield shows 3 silver-painted running mice. And on top of the shield is a crest on which a crouched domestic cat sits, and this cat looks like it is ready to jump off. Now let that sit for a moment. This is a very, very unique logo. And for me, it already hints at some humor. I mean, we're talking about a family that starts in the 12th century. So these were tough times, you know. War and power were very important for these people. And then choosing a coat of arms with a domestic cat and 3 mice as their main animal? No one would take these guys seriously. I mean, who would choose mice to be printed on their shield? Also, are the mice running away from the cat? Is that why it is about to jump off? It's very strange. But let's go on. Under the logo, there's the family motto. And this motto says, quote, "As my whimsy takes me," end quote. And here, whimsy is written like the English noun. So again, it could be a funny allusion to, you know, being whimsy, and I will just go where my whimsy takes me. So again, I don't think these guys took themselves too seriously. Or maybe it is all a big manipulation scheme by them to make us think that they don't take themselves seriously. Maybe we are the mice and they are the cat. You know? It's cool. It's a cool logo, a cool motto, very interesting, very unique. I like it. So much for that. Peter Whimsey is the son of the 15th Duke of Denver. So, Duke of Denver is a fictional English title. It's not a real thing. I mean, Duke is a real thing, but there is no Duke of Denver, apparently. Anyway, the 15th Duke of Denver has a wife, Honoria Lucasta della Guardi, very fancy name, and these two are the parents of Peter Wimsey. His older brother Gerald is the actual 16th Duke of Denver. And then there is also a younger sister who's called Lady Mary. This Lady Mary leans strongly to the political left. She's married to an ordinary policeman even, and the family didn't like that. Apparently it brought much shame to the family of Wimsey. Because, you see, lords stay by their kind and don't mate with ordinary folk. But she did it anyway. Peter himself comes more after his mother. And his mother is described as being witty and intelligent. And it goes vice versa, because she also prefers Peter over Gerald. Gerald seems to be more plain and classic, you know, pretty boring lord guy. Now we come to the first thing that's interesting about Peter Wimsey as a character. And that is that he ages in real time throughout the stories. And also, the dynamic between the characters changes as well through time. Just like it would be the case in real life. So that's new, that's really cool. If you remember Miss Marple, Hercule Poirot, Sherlock Holmes, they don't all, like, Sherlock Holmes a bit, but Miss Marple and Hercule Poirot, they don't really age in a chronological way. You can't really tell that something changes. Peter Wimsey was born in 1890, and his last story takes place in 1942. Overall, he appears in 11 novels and a number of short stories under Dorothy Sayers. But she quit writing his stories in 1942, and then there was a second author, Jill Patton Walsh, who extended the Wimsey stories a bit further after Dorothy Sayers' time. So how did this Peter Wimsey look like? His appearance is a little bit unusual. That's not really something new for us, but there are still new elements. First of all, he's one of the very few blonde detectives. So he even has straw blonde hair. If you think about it, pretty much all the other detectives have dark brown hair. Or black hair. I mean, except the ones that come directly from Scandinavia. And then they're Swedish detectives or something, but that doesn't really count. I mean, there are other countries with blonde people as well. It's very weird that most of the detectives have black and brown hair. Is black and brown hair so much more common? I don't know. Well, anyway, he has blonde hair. He is of average height. He has a beaked nose. And he's described as having a vaguely foolish face. So, he looks quirky. And he's not classically handsome. But of course, he has other qualities. He's very athletic. He was an excellent cricket player in college. I mean, by the way, cricket is the absolute stereotypical sport for a British lord, so bravo, good choice. Well, he was very good at that, and he could also still do cartwheels, apparently, at the age of 40, which is not bad. Not necessarily an example of athletic ability I would choose. But we can agree on that he's not unfit, so to say. Through the stories, there seem to be several other hints to Lord Peter's fitness, to his strength and durability. So he's above average, at least. So he can stand his ground. He was also part of the army, but I will come to that a bit later. Overall, he dresses like the typical douchebag aristocrat. Aristocrat. So, he wears a top hat, he has fancy suits, and he runs around with a walking stick. So the whole package. Of course, he also has a bunch of eccentric British rich guy hobbies. His main hobby is that he collects incunabula. Impressive, right? What do you mean you don't know what that is? Pfft. Incunabula are books from the earliest days of printing, silly. So, you know, books that are printed before the 16th century. Well, I guess you never stop learning when listening to this podcast, are you? But I mean, seriously, he collects old books. Like, really old books. If someone would tell me that today, I mean, I'm sorry, but I would probably say something like, "Geez, that's so cool and interesting. You are such a little snowflake." And then I would like pat the person on the head or something. Okay, but let's not forget, it was a different time. And all the detectives are strange, right? Especially the older ones. And now Lord Peter is just another nerd. But, well, actually not. He's a Lord Nerd. He's still a partly ruler of the land. So he is excused, kind of, because he was born to be eccentric, right? And, yeah, well, of course that was not all. Of course Peter Wimsey is musically talented. I mean, Lord and genius detective is not enough. No, some people receive from both of God's hands, and Peter Wimsey excels at playing the piano. He is incredibly talented in playing Bach's work. Nice. Great skill. Then he's also a food expert, of course, and a wine expert. How fitting. And he owns a bunch of nice cars. Preferably, he likes to collect Mercedes. Yeah. What can you say? I hope you see now why I meant that he is the king of amateur detectives. He has everything. He sits somewhere in a castle and then solves crime on the side while nipping at his Chardonnay. Then of course there's stuff like he went to Oxford, he graduated in history, which that is not bad, okay? That fits his love for old books at least. But did I mention that he likes to run around with a monocle? No, really, this guy's the perfect British snob, just like you'd imagine one to be. But with detectives, not everything is as it seems. Peter Wimsey also has his flaws. I mean, otherwise I probably wouldn't have picked him for this episode. And as a character, he wouldn't be interesting at all. Because just like that, he isn't sympathetic at all. Now, gladly, we will explore his tragedies. Man, I feel awful saying that, even though we are talking about a fictional character. Lord Peter's weaknesses are tied to the First World War. First of all, he left his first love of his life, Barbara, in order to join the army. And shortly after he joined the army, she just went on to marry someone else. That's pretty cruel. And this led Peter to the belief that marriage is a washout, and he fooled around more with other women than approaching them with serious intention. Damn, he had a hard life. But no, let's be real. That's pretty cruel. If it was really his first love, that's a tough pill to swallow. Then, during the war, it is revealed that Peter Wimsey knows German and Italian. And especially his knowledge of German makes him take on the role of a spy. And he goes behind the lines. He works for the intelligence unit for quite a while. And there he also learns to understand different ciphers. Then he returns to being a regular line officer again. There it shows that he is mutually respected and liked by his soldiers. So he's kind of a commander. And he gets to be known for his great leading abilities. In this position, he also meets Sergeant Mervyn Bunter. And this Mervyn Bunter will go on to be his valet after the war. It is kind of a mutual decision. Both of them make each other a promise that Bunter will serve Lord Wimsey in case they're able to survive the war. Yeah, that happens. And Bunter also becomes Lord Peter's best friend. Although their interactions remain very formal for most of the time, both of them value each other greatly. So Bunter is Wimsey's Watson, so to say. During an artillery fire in 1980, Wimsey is wounded. But what's worse is that he starts to suffer from PTSD since then. At that time they call it shell shock, and is commonly considered as malingering. But of course, in fact, it's really bad. It makes Peter Wimsey, first of all, lose his officer responsibilities. And he's sent home. And since he's home, he's constantly cursed by nightmares of the trenches and war scenes. And at one point, it is even so bad that He sits alone in a darkened room for days, suffering from severe depression. Bunter somehow manages to return him back to life, but Peter Wimsey also has reoccurring effects whenever his reveal of a murderer's identity leads to a resulting death penalty or such. So, he has quite a burden to carry around. He's tortured constantly by his PTSD. And I have to say, that is tough. I even tend to excuse his overall snobbishness. Especially since most of it is just a facade anyhow. There is a side to him that likes to pretend to be a goofy, uncaring fool, just to manipulate others. Again, that's very similar to a tactic Poirot and Miss Marple use. Both of them were very self-aware and they used the first impression their physical appearance gave to fool enemies and others. And in the story Gaudy Night, Lord Peter says about himself, quote, "I'm the professional funny man of the Foreign Office. Some turn goes wrong, and they send on the patter comedian to talk the house into good humor again. I take people out to lunch and tell them funny stories, and work them up to mellowing point." End quote. But now, why all that? Why would a lord want to be a detective? Well, first of all, he enjoys playing the part. And he likes to go head-to-head with criminals in a duel of wits. He often acknowledges the intelligence of murderers, but he also feels bad about his excitement. So he's very twisted in that matter. In the story Whose Body, he says about his job, quote, "It's a hobby. Exciting. I enjoy it. I feel as if I oughtn't to find it amusing, but I do." End quote. So he's conflicted and he struggles at several occasions throughout the stories with what it means to act morally right, you see. And that is something I find so appealing about his character. In contrast to Sherlock Holmes, Poirot, or Miss Marple, who always seem to know what to do and what is right, Peter Wimsey actually deals with some existential questions here. And it is not a side issue, but a real asset to his character, and that sets him apart. And through this questioning and everything, he also develops personally by developing serious intentions about a woman who he then eventually gets married to and with whom he has 3 children. So I won't tell you who. I feel that is too much of a spoiler. I mean, you can easily look it up, but I for myself find it cooler to find that stuff out through reading the stories. Of course, I now ruined a lot for me here by covering this detective. But to be fair, there are so many of them, it's impossible to read all their stories. Anyway, regarding Peter Wimsey, it is nice to see that not all of these superior gentleman detectives remain loners. But let's have another look at how he solves cases. Wimsey, as a detective, profits partly from his lordship's stand. He manages to talk to the right people when necessary, and sometimes Bunter or someone else of his stuff can do groundwork for him. But most of the time he actually does his own legwork. When solving a case, he relies mostly on intuition and logic, not so much on scientific thinking. He just seems to be more observant and cleverer than others. Just like the typical British gentleman amateur detective, he often butts head with the police. In the beginning, there's an Inspector Suck who gets teased and ridiculed by Wimsey constantly and who often receives credit for cases he has not even solved. It's a little similar to Inspector Lestrade in Sherlock Holmes. But again, well, that does not last. In the later stories, there is an Inspector Parker who befriends Wimsey. And this Inspector Parker is actually good at his job. He's also the one who later marries Wimsey's little sister Mary. So here again, Dorothy Sayers takes something conventional and changes it into something unique and own to her world. And I really like that, you know? Why can't the detective and the police just get along? Yeah. In summary, Peter Wimsey has all the facets of the typical gentleman detective. But when you look more into him, he becomes more and more unique. By the way, I also find it funny how he came to be. You see, Dorothy Sayers simply saw that there are two things the people at her time would like to read about. The nobles and detectives. She just combined the two things, and here we go. Easy solution on how to make a successful detective series. Hey, if you enjoyed the episode, please consider leaving a review. You can do that on some platforms, for example on Apple Podcasts, and I know that some of you are listening on Apple Podcasts, so please do that, because that helps me grow, so the podcast gets bigger, and a bigger audience means more money, and then I can finally fulfill my dream of calling myself a millionaire one day. And I promise you, I will then buy a tank and post a picture with me and the tank on Instagram. Yeah. Also, you can join me on Instagram under sharingforts_table_talk. I post youthful stuff there, you know, cool detective-related images and funny memes. So, it's super cool. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it. And hope to hear from you again soon. Bye.